you were an animal, which animal would you be?
I'm aiming to be a scorpion.
Kind of a bad animal.
Yeah, in a way.
Whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Brought to you by Rock Antenna, Germany's number one rock radio station.
Welcome, Rock Antenna listeners. I'm Jule, and today we have our guests here. It's Jussi Oligoski and Will Malia from Moonshot. And it's nice to have you guys. So I start with my first question. On April 26, you will release your new album, The Power. And are there any funny or unusual things that are happening during the making of the album?
There's many of them. There's many of them. Actually, we recorded the album in a few different sessions. And each of them, they were having like a, I would put it like a unique character, or kind of, I'm thinking those sessions as a personalities. And when it comes to like, for example, tracking drums, there was lots of like, because we were making to the studio, and each morning everybody like shows up there with their, you know, kind of package full of food. And it was almost, you know, always kind of, you kind of waited that what kind of foods, you know, your friends are bringing in. And, you know, for example, we had this drum technician who brought, let's say 10 or 15 days, like same pizza every fucking day. It was like, it was something really, really fun that, you know, every morning when you try to like make some kind of salads and sandwiches and stuff, but this one guy appeared and then there was this same pizza every morning. And that's, I don't know, is it funny, but it's just something that happened.
Yes, and regarding that same drum guy, it was actually gas lipstick from him. And he was the one who we chose to be in charge of, like, you know, tuning the drums and choosing the snares together with Mikko and so on. So gas lipstick turned out to be quite a joker and funny guy. So I would say, you know, the best small bits of humor and crazy situation, it kind of always involved this guy in the studio and so on. So lots of happy, sort of crazy memories with gas lipstick.
Yeah. Beautiful, crazy memories.
Okay, nice. Had you any special guests during recording or?
No, you know, we just did it as a band, but you know, actually, you know, most of the work happened like in situations where the whole band weren't in the same room, but anyways, you know, mostly with the band and me as a producer and Juppu, aka Julius Mauranen, in also producing and doing the mixing and so on. And who else? David Potril doing the vocals and so on. Yeah. But pretty much, you know, pretty much the same crew as we had with the first album. So we kind of fell in love with this crew and with the results. So we wanted to use those same people and the same process and just cultivate the process and make it as good as possible. So.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's like, and it happens that when we are working, we're really, really concentrated in about what we are doing. And I think it's quite typical for Finnish people that they kind of stand off their own and they don't want to be interrupted in a way. And yeah. I think that it's that same thing works for us, that when we're working, when we are recording, when we are thinking, we don't want any like strangers to pop up in the studio and asking some questions that we don't want to answer then. But
that's well said. It's actually quite close to the process. And it's, you know, the concentration and the motivation is very deep. So in a way, if there's going to be like a special guest, I suppose that would have been also like quite carefully, you know, planned and chosen, you know, to make it like, to make the most of that situation. And, you know.
Okay. Thank you. So considering your previous bands, Disco Ensemble, Lepgo and Children of Bodom, you are kind of a mix of genres. And how did you come together and how did you also finally find a genre that you would pick for Moonshot?
Yeah, so me and Ville, we go way back. You know, we have toured together with Lepgo and Disco Ensemble. And, you know, when Disco Ensemble decided to call it quits, I still felt like, I felt like I wanted to form a new rock band. I felt like I had something to give for rock and roll, so to say. And so I asked Mikko to join and he was excited about this idea. And for a while it was just me and Mikko, but then I decided to call Ville. And that phone call, I suppose that lasted like 2.5 hours. It was a great phone call and lots of like, you know, plans were made and obviously Ville was in and really excited. And so I had already made some demos, but we started to work together with Ville on the new songs. And you know, the style kind of evolved sort of naturally. I think I just kind of continued from where I left things with Disco Ensemble, so to say. And of course, Ville's style of writing melodies and lyrics, Ville has his own style. So that mixture, I suppose, is like the core of Moonshot's music at the moment. So, yeah. And then a bit later, you know, we still didn't have bass players. So we decided to ask Henkka and we sent him some demos and he was really into those. And he said yes, luckily. And so here we are. So it's kind of a miracle, but Moonshot is here.
Yeah, really nice. But it's just funny that there was for Henkka. Was it Children of Bodom and it is death metal and now you're like more rock alternative and so on. So that's pretty funny, I guess.
Yeah, but it's always like, you know, first time we made it to the rehearsal space and we started to, you know, play and we saw each others and we were there in a small room with a loud noise. We kind of realized it immediately that this is what it is right now, you know, that what you have done before about your histories, in your histories and what has happened and that those things, they don't count when you kind of make new music. Then everything you have is in front of you. And when we started to play, I still kind of remember this first moment in where we started to play and what happened then. And it's like, it's you know, it's somehow kind of, it defines your, you know, rest of your life that, okay, now the new page has been turned and here we are with these guys and none of us saw this coming, but still here we are. And, you know, as you told that, you know, it's like, it's a miraculous thing and it's really, really, really beautiful.
Nice. When you are on your tour and in the tour bus, on which music are you listening to when you're on tour, private?
You know, I must say our tour manager is quite enthusiastic when it comes to like classic metal music and sort of like, let's say, Iron Maiden or and he's really into like German bands like Halloween and Gamma Ray and so on. And he's the one who usually puts on the stuff. So we kind of, you know, the atmosphere in the tour bus is like mostly marinated with 80s, you know, like metal gods and so on. Of course, there's like a blink in the eye, of course, when we listen to these things, but still, you know, he's the most active when it comes to music on tour. So that's what we are fit to say.
And when it comes to, you not traveling by bus, it's like it usually happens that the parties, they are happening in front, and 95% of the ways that we are traveling, the band is actually sleeping or having some kind of private time in our beds. And then, you know, personally, I'm just opening the curtain and I'm just listening that which song it's right now. Oh, okay, this is they are there right now. And it's like, it's basically the same thing happens every night. It's like, and same songs at least. You know?
Yeah, yeah. It's must say, you know, that the crew mostly does the partying in our entourage, but every once in a while the band joins as well. But you know, the listening to music part usually involves some sort of, I wouldn't call it a party, but like after session, you know. Let's call it an after session.
Nice. So when it comes to touring, are you happy playing in Germany because you are at the Summer Breeze Festival and it's a pretty big thing for us? And are you looking forward for your festival summer in Germany?
Yeah, for sure. It's like this band, if the Moonshot is something, we are a live band. And the magic happens when we're playing live, and this kind of magical bounce that we are sending some energy to the audience and we're getting back from the audience, and then what happens then, that's really unique, and that's something that we all kind of respect a lot. And we have played quite a lot in Germany, and it's like, you know, all of the shows, they've been really, really good. And it's like, because people are so open-minded and they really, we're getting this kind of good vibe from the audience, and you know, looking to the next summer, for example, and Summer Breeze, it's like, I think that it'll be like a, you know, cake full of strawberries for us.
Really nice. So are you also planning coming to Austria? Because we also have Rock Antenne Austria. And I think they are also pretty excited to see you. So are you planning anything in Austria?
I don't think we have anything booked at the moment for Austria, but I really wish we did, you know. I always enjoyed visiting there as well. So hopefully some festival or club promoter will hear this and you know,
where have you been? Where have you been in Austria?
In Vienna mostly, and back in the day I was Novarock actually with Disco Ensemble. That was a great experience, so it would be awesome to come back.
Nice. As are you also private festival junkies, or just when you're playing on the festivals?
I suppose I used to be, but nowadays, or let's say like for years now, usually when it comes to festivals, I'm always working if I'm there. So with a few exceptions here in like Helsinki area, we have some nice city festivals that I usually participate in. But most of the times, if you see me in a festival, I'm working.
Okay.
Same here. Unfortunately, yeah.
Okay, but when you're saying you're doing your after sessions, are you doing any drinking games like beer pong? I don't know if you know that, actually.
I suppose we used to back in the day, but you know, we are old gentlemen at them, you know, nowadays. So beer pong, it would be fun, but still, you know, I think we need to pick our battles when it comes to partying.
Yeah, and our crew is doing it quite well. So we have kind of moved that responsibility, you know, that kind of burden of those games for the crew. So, you know.
Okay. So, when we're coming to our songs and your new album, so I will just say, all human beings are born free, equal in dignity and rights. And this is the quote you have for your music video, Yes. So I feel like that your songs are all about like a fight, strength, and change. And why did you decide on that topic for your album, The Power?
Actually, we didn't decide. It just happened. When we started to write the songs with Jussi, we didn't plan to make any kind of thematical, you know, album. It wasn't supposed to be like theme album called The Power. But when we had done the songs, we just realized at some point that all of the songs, they're like, they're having some kind of straight connection to this title, The Power. And it can be different kind of things, but still that power could be found inside all of them. And then we just realized that, you know, the power when it comes to like stories in the lyrics and when it comes to music as well, it's having like a different flavors. And it isn't, in this album, it isn't only this masculine power with like huge body parts, like bodybuilding thing. It could be like feminine. It can be like something like, it doesn't have to be that you are fighting against something. It can be more like you are like hanging with your friends. You are falling in love. You are doing like beautiful things together. And that's maybe something that we started to think that, okay, this is what the power is for us and in this moonshot, you know, world. And yeah. And when it comes to Yes, that song, it was something that when Jussi sent the demo of the song, I just realized that I'm having this kind of message that we can change the world and we can kind of, you know, like turn the page and decide what we want to do. And we can like decide that, okay, now we have got enough, we have to make the change. And then the lyrics, they just appeared. They were in the track. You know, when I heard the track for the first time, I felt that it was like a loaded gun, that I just have to write these things here and put that my spicy to the soup, and then it's there.
Pretty nice.
So not long answer. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. That's totally fine. Is there a song that means the most to you, or is personally, important to you? One song.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I think at the moment, I would choose "Ride Faster" as my favorite song. Of course, if you ask me a week from now, I might choose something else, but still, you know, that song, it feels like that song has like the journey I had, the personal journey I had when I was writing that song. It was such an epic one, a long journey. And I really fell in love with sort of the basic ingredients in that song, and I really wanted to squeeze all the juices out of it. And because of that, I ended up trying out so many things. I really wanted to sort of turn every stone there was regarding that song. And as a result, you know, I went so far that I had to come back. I started to, you know, I recorded lots of stuff, and but at the end of the day, I started to mute things. I was starting to take things out. So I really feel like that song, we went, you know, all the way to the end. And then we came back a bit and the sweet spot was right there. And I'm really happy about it.
Yeah. And I remember when I made it to the Jussi studio and Jussi had just made this new intro for the Ride Faster song. And I didn't know that it's our song. And I was just, you know, I was just thinking that Jussi is listening to some Spotify stuff. And I was like, what are you listening? This sounds really good. And Jussi was watching and went, what? This is our song. It's a new intro. And I was like, I got a goosebumps and what the fuck? Okay. Now we're talking. And it's like that kind of, you know, things that, you know, you it's hard to, you know, forget that kind of things. Yeah.
Indeed, nice. I have one last question for you guys. When you are, so you're longer in the music business right now with your further bands, and is there anything you developed, kind of a special ritual that you personally do before you go on stage?
I'm having this thing I've been doing last, let's say, 50 gigs we have played. I'm carrying with me this blue jumping rope, and I'm doing this jumping rope, you know, routine and some stretching and stuff. But the jumping rope had become really, really big thing for me. I don't know how, why, but it's like to have it, you know, it's really, you know, important, you know.
Yeah, nice. Like
for me, it's a bit more spiritual, I suppose, with having all these sort of years and miles behind me. I've started to try to, you know, sort of stop in the moment just before the show and try to remind myself of trying to enjoy the actual live situation as much as possible. Because back in the day with the Disco Ensemble, we played so many shows in so many cool places, but I suppose I was so young and, you know, sort of like always looking for the next thing and trying to, you know, put more step on the gas and, you know, whatever and think about the next thing and so on. So I feel like I sometimes forgot to enjoy the, you know, the short moments on stage. So this is sort of like a second chance for me to do that, you know, before every show. So that's like my personal spiritual thing.
Thank you. That's a nice ending, I would say. So thank you very much for your time. And I hope you have a successful album release and, of course, a nice tour, especially in Germany, of course. So, yeah, thank you very much.
And thanks for having us. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Subscribe to our channel for more rocking podcasts.